Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Today we are going to look at how Christ will return to this earth and what will happen when He does. What can we expect to see? All of this information has been laid out in your Bible for centuries, and yet very few have ever really understood this truth. As we've covered on previous programs, there are a lot of different ideas about Christ's return, let alone what's going to happen after He returns. But again, this truth has been laid out for many years, and yet very few really look at it and let the Bible interpret itself. But that's what we're going to do today, and look at how Christ will return. What's it going to be like? What will that event be like? And then what will happen when He does? And so we're going to look at a few passages today, and if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out and go through these with me. First, let's notice a time frame of Christ's second coming. And we'll start in Luke 21 and verse 35 to get this time frame in mind. Luke 21 and verse 35. It says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." This is talking about Christ's return. It's going to come upon the earth and people living on the earth like a snare. Of course, a snare is a trap. It is something that is unexpected. No doubt you've seen an animal get caught in a trap or a snare. They don't know it's there. And that's why it catches them unawares. Now remember in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, Christ said that the time of His return would be just like the days of Noah were. People were going on with their daily lives, and they thought that nothing would ever happen differently than it was at that time, that society, as they knew it, would just continue on. And yet, the flood came, and it took them all away, except for Noah and his family, who were protected on the ark. So that's what Christ said His return would be like, just like the days of Noah. So we should not expect the majority of people to be discerning the signs of the times today, because people are going on with their normal lives and thinking that things will just continue as they have. So in Matthew 25 and verse 13, Christ tells us to watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. He says, watch. Now sometimes if people quote that scripture, they'll focus more on the fact that we don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes, which is true. But we need to focus also on that first part of the scripture. Watch therefore. Okay, so what should we do knowing that we don't know the exact day or hour of Christ's return? Christ said, well, watch. Be looking for His return. And make sure that we're paying attention to the signs of the times. Just because most people aren't paying attention to the signs of the times, that doesn't mean that you or I have to fall victim to that. We don't need to be in that mindset. We don't have to be in that same spiritual lethargy that many people are in. Christ wants His people to be watching and praying, very much intensely paying attention to what's going on in the world scene and paying attention to the prophecies of the Bible. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 33. It says, "So likewise you, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." We need to be looking for signs that are happening according to the prophecies of the Bible. And when we see these things, know that it is near, the return of Christ. It's even at the doors. Christ instructs His people to pay attention to the signs He laid out in Matthew 24. And while we do not know the day or the hour of Christ's return, He does expect us to know when His return is near or even at the doors. So just because we don't know the specific day or the hour doesn't mean that we don't know when it's at the door is when it's very close, when it's very near. So let's think about this on more of a practical level. If you see someone walking up your driveway and then nearing your door, you are pretty aware of that if you are watching. You know that they're about to come into the house or try to come into the house because you've watched them walk up the driveway and get near your front door. Christ said we should know when his return is near, even at the door, because we're paying attention to the signs. But if you're sound asleep in your bed, you'd have no idea someone was walking up your driveway. You'd have no idea that someone's nearing your door because you're sleeping. You're not paying attention. Christ wants us watching for his return. And maybe you've had that happen sometime where you're waiting for a ride. And if you're diligent in waiting for that ride, you probably sit there and look out the window. Maybe you had to catch a bus to go to school. You watched for it. You didn't know the exact second the bus would show up or your ride would show up, but you knew roughly that it would be coming at a certain time. And so you watched for it. So when it came, you'd be ready to get on your bus or catch your ride and go wherever you were going. That's the same principle that Christ is talking about here. Pay attention, watch, look for Christ's return, because we should know when it's near, even at the doors. And so that means being alert, paying attention to what God says, what his prophecies are, and then paying attention to what's happening in the world as well. Some of the signs given in Matthew 24 have already been fulfilled. And so that gives us a good indication, too, of the time period of Christ's return. Notice verse 14 of Matthew 24. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This is the gospel message that was preached to all the world for a witness by Herbert W. Armstrong. And you can read more about that history in his autobiography, also Malachi's Message and Raising the Ruins. Those are free books that you can get at thetrumpet.com. You can read them right at the website, or you can download them, or you can have them sent to you and have the physical copy. So that gospel of the kingdom was preached in all the world for a witness. Many people did not accept it, but they weren't going to. It was prophesied that it would be for a witness. People would hear the message, even though many wouldn't accept it. And it says, after that, then shall the end come. This end is referring to the end of the Philadelphian era of God's church, the last era before Christ returns in the Laodicean era. And that is the era that we are in now. We're in that Laodicean era. And again, you can read Malachi's Message to give you a very good indication about that, and Raising the Ruins as well. And you can read about those church eras in Revelation 2 and 3. So it's a very good sign, a very good indication that Christ's return is near, even at the doors, when we are in the very last generation, that we'll see all these signs fulfilled. We are in that Laodicean era. In this last era of God's work, his church must prophesy again, and that's talked about in Revelation 10 and verse 11, teaching God's truth with an emphasis this time on the warning message. And so that's what God's people are to be doing today, and we talked about that on a previous program. So again, we need to be watching for the return of Christ, watching for it, because we should be able to see when it's near and even at the doors. So how will Christ return to this earth? The Bible tells us this as well. We don't have to guess about what's going to happen when he does return. Let's look at a few passages that describe this. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll look at verses 2 through 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 2, says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." In other words, just like Christ prophesied in Luke 21, people will be caught off guard by the return of Christ. and they will be caught off guard by the terrible events that occur right before his return. And he prophesied about those in Matthew 24. But God's people are not caught off guard because they are watching and praying. You know, again, Christ said to watch, to pray, and we should know when Christ's return is near and even at the doors. So this doesn't mean that Christ comes secretly and people don't know about that. And we'll see more about this as we go here. Let's look at Revelation 16 and verse 15. This gives us some more insight. Christ says in Revelation 16 and verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Christ is telling his people not to be caught in a condition of spiritual nakedness or living unrighteously. So does this mean that when Christ returns, it will be a secret and people won't know he returned? Is that what it means by his return being like a thief in the night? Well, we have to put all the scriptures together to really get a clear picture of what he's talking about here, because it'd be easy to read one scripture there and read what he said there in Revelation 16 and say, well, he said he's coming as a thief, so, you know, there's no way for us to know that, to know when he was going to return or how he's going to return. But that doesn't square with all the scriptures. So we don't want to just take one scripture and take it kind of out of context. We want to look at all the scriptures here and see what Christ was getting at. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." This doesn't sound like a secret return, does it? He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. So what did Christ mean when he said he would return like a thief in the night? Well, a thief usually comes at night when the household is away or asleep. His purpose is to catch the household unawares, off their guard. He surprises them. You never know when a thief is coming. It's the element of surprise. If you did know when the thief was coming, you'd call the police and be prepared for him, right? If the thief sent you an email and said, "I plan to rob your house tonight at around 11 o'clock, you'd make sure you were prepared for that arrival. But they surprise people. The big question that we would want to know if we thought someone was going to rob our house was when? When are they coming? Because we want to be prepared for them. And of course, it's the same with the coming of Christ. He's not going to come invisibly any more than a thief comes invisibly. Thieves aren't invisible, but they come unexpectedly. That's the point. No one will know exactly when Christ is going to come, but Christ told his people to watch. So hopefully that clears up that passage to some extent. Coming as a thief in the night means that people aren't going to be expecting it. They're going to be just like they were in the days of Noah, where they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Not that any of those things are wrong, but they were doing them in the wrong way. They were just so caught up in their lifestyle, so caught up in society, that they weren't paying attention. And they thought things would just go on as they always had. And then, of course, the flood came. And Christ said it's going to be just like that when he returns. People are going to be so caught up in their lives and what's going on in their personal worlds that they're not going to be thinking about, they're not going to be watching for his return like they should be. Now, God's people will be watching, but most people will not be watching. And so Christ's return will surprise them like a thief in the night because they are unaware that he's about to return. But if we're watching, Christ said very clearly, we should know when his return is near, even at the doors. So when he returns, as we read there in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's going to be quite a dramatic event. It's not going to be quiet and secret. It's going to be something everybody knows about. But people are surprised by the timing of it because they just weren't paying attention. That's what Christ means when he says his return is going to be like a thief in the night. We have to be prepared at all times for his return. Paying attention, of course, to those signs of his return that he laid out there in Matthew 24. And so Jesus likened his coming to a thief in respect to the time of his coming and the element of surprise. We don't want to be caught off guard. As it says in Revelation, we don't want to be caught spiritually naked to where we're not living like we should be. We're not growing like we should be. And we don't want to be caught off guard by Christ's return. We'll look more closely at what Christ's return will be like. There's some specific things that we're going to see when Christ returns. We'll take a look at what those will be right after this short break. You are listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me here today. If you'd like to go back and listen to past episodes of Live by Every Word, you can find those at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm. And if you have any comments or questions, you can send those in to comments at kpcg.fm. Christ's return to this earth will be a very visible and earth-shaking event. It will not be a secret. You won't have to wonder if it has occurred. You will know that it has. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the specific events that will occur at Christ's return. And they're earth-shaking, to say the least, and very exciting. Let's look at Revelation 1 and verse 7 to start. It says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Every eye, that's what it says. Every eye will see him. It will not be a secret. Every eye is going to see Christ return. Every person that is alive at that time will see his return. Christ will not have a secret return to this earth. His second coming will be seen by every eye, it says. And also just a quick note about what it means that they also which pierced him will see his return. Those Roman soldiers who killed Christ won't be alive to see his return. They're dead, of course. But all mankind is guilty of sin and therefore guilty of the death of Christ. You can see that in Romans 3 and verse 23 and Romans 5 and verse 8. Every eye is going to see him, including they that pierced him, which every human being is guilty of that because every human has sinned. And that's what Christ died for, to pay for the sins of mankind and to redeem mankind to God the Father. So that's what it means there when it talks about they also which pierced him. But every eye is going to see Christ's return. It's going to be a global event that everybody's going to know about. Let's notice Matthew 24, verses 26 and 27 as well. Matthew 24, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Or behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You can see why Christ said, look, don't believe people if they say, yeah, he's in the desert or he's in the secret chambers, because every eye is going to see him return. So you won't need somebody to give you the secret inside information. Everyone's going to know that Christ's return to this earth is going to be seen. And the Greek word astrape used in Matthew 24 and verse 27 may mean the lightning of thunderstorms or any brilliant illumination. So that's talking about when it says lightning there. Now, what brilliant light comes out of the east and shines even unto the west? Sunrise and sunset, right? It's and then everything in between. That's the sun. Comes out of the east, it sets in the west. And so the question is, can you see the sun? Of course. Of course you can. Christ's presence will be as the sun shines in his strength. You can see that in Revelation 1 and verse 16. The glorified Christ is like the sun shines in its full strength. Very powerful. It will be obvious. Nobody will be able to miss it. I mean, imagine trying to tell somebody that the sun secretly rose in the middle of the night and only, you know, you knew about it. People would say, well, that's crazy. You know, of course that didn't happen. You'd be laughed to scorn or worse because everybody knows when the sun is out. The sun doesn't secretly rise and people didn't know about it. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. And it's likewise, everyone will know when Christ has returned. And that's just sort of a good way to think about it. I mean, if you can have the sun in the sky and have it be a secret, then I guess Christ's return could be a secret. But that can't happen. Everybody can see the sun. And of course, the Bible says specifically that every eye will see him return, as we read. So we know that everybody's going to know that Christ has returned when he does return. It's going to be, again, a global event, and every eye shall see him. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 30. This gives some more insight into what the picture will be like when Christ returns. It says, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Power and great glory. People will see Christ return. It's going to be a very powerful display of something that's, I mean, we've never seen the like of it, I'm sure. The only thing we can think of probably is looking at the sun. But of course, you know, it follows a very consistent path and we're used to it. But it's so bright we can't look at it, not with our naked eye. I mean, Christ has that sort of power and that sort of glory, but his return is going to be a very dramatic, very dramatic. It's going to be a powerful display. And something else happens, too, at Christ's return. Well, a couple of things, but that are quite phenomenal that we'll look at here as well. Zechariah 14 and verse 4 gives us another powerful thing that will occur at Christ's return. Zechariah 14 and verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." I'm sure you've seen the Mount of Olives before. Many of you have probably even been there. It's going to split in half, and a great valley will be there in the middle of it. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Could that happen and be a secret? People wouldn't know about it? Of course not. If that even happened today, you could take any mountain and have that happen today and it'd be all over the news. But, of course, this will be even more dramatic than just, say, an earthquake or something like that. So, again, you look at these signs that are laid out here in the Bible, it's not going to be a secret when Christ returns. It's going to be very obvious for everybody to see it. Christ's visible, loud, unmistakable coming is plainly described in the Bible in really a lot of very spectacular detail. But you have to notice, too, looking at these passages, that there's not one word mentioning a secret preliminary rapture of Christians to heaven. We talked about that on a previous program, but quite a few people do believe in a rapture, but yet you don't find it in the Bible. You do find very descriptive accounts of Christ's return. Again, a globe-shaking situation, an event that everybody sees. You don't see a secret rapture, though. But you do see the resurrection of the dead. That happens at Christ's return as well, at least the first resurrection. And we'll talk more about other resurrections on future programs, but the dead in Christ do rise. They are resurrected at his return. And we can see this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 15 through 16. So Christ's return, I mean, here we've got amazing signs. We have lots of dynamic sounds and visual occurrences, mountains splitting, him, Christ returning in the clouds, every eye beholding him, and then the resurrection of God's people. Not going to be a secret. Everybody's going to know about these things. Very dramatic events. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ shall rise first. To be dead in Christ means to be a first fruit, to be somebody that lived and was called by God, was converted, had his Holy Spirit, developed fruits of the Spirit, died in the faith, and they're dead in Christ. They're waiting for their resurrection. And that resurrection will occur when he returns. That's the first resurrection. That's the best resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, talking about the same time period, same event, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And it is a mystery to the world, isn't it? "We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the dead are going to be raised first, born again, spirit being, God beings, into the God family, and then those that are alive at that time and are following God and are growing and having God's Spirit are going to be changed and become spirit being as well. That's truly being born again. But the dead in Christ will be raised first, it says. Now, this last trump is the same as the one described in Revelation 11 and verse 15. It's the same trumpet. Verse 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Again, this is quite a dramatic event. Imagine that. Hearing this trumpet blast, every eye seeing Christ return. He stands on the Mount of Olives and it splits in two. The dead in Christ are resurrected to spirit power, actual members of the God family. Those that are Christ at his return, they're changed into God beings. I mean, this is going to be the greatest event that this earth has seen. The reestablishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And it's going to be a very powerful event. Those great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. No more rule by the governments of man. No more dictators. No more elections and political turmoil and scandals and all the things that we see today. That's all going to be gone away. That's all going to be done away with, and Christ is going to rule with the kingdom of God, with the government of God." John is describing the same momentous event that Paul did in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. This is the same event here in Revelation 11 and verse 15. "And we see that Christ will return and the saints will be resurrected at the mighty blast of a great trumpet, which will be heard by everyone on earth." If you'd like to learn more about this, we have lots of great write-ups at thetrumpet.com, including a wonderful book written by Herbert W. Armstrong on pagan holidays or God's holy days, which, and it goes through God's holy day plan, including the Feast of Trumpets. And that Feast of Trumpets reminds God's people and shows God's people about this time when Christ will return and these amazing events that happen. And that's pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. So you can read a lot more about that. That time period is coming up in the season. That's the fall holy days. That's coming up not too long from now. And so it's great to get out and take a look at that. And if you've never really heard much about it before, really quite exciting, quite spectacular. The return of Christ is going to be the most dramatic event that this earth has ever seen. And it's something to really look forward to. And like Christ said, to watch and pray, watch unto prayer, and make sure that we're seeing the signs of the times that we're living in and watching for his dramatic and spectacular return to this earth. That's all the time we have for today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.